All right, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Echad Kodeshim Kshirim, Echad Kodeshim Psulim, Shaya Psulan BaKodesh. So it doesn't matter whether you have Kodeshim that are Kshirim, meaning that these are Kodeshim that could have been brought Bifnim because they are being processed and there's nothing wrong with them, or whether we're speaking about Kodeshim that had a Psul in them, but the Psul is centered around Psulan BaKodesh, something that went wrong in the Kodesh, because as Rashi says here, Hol Bifnim, Imalu lo yerdu, we know that when you have psulan bekodesh, we have the principle that if they end up on the mizbeach, they don't have to come off. That already makes them as if they are mitkabel bifnim. It's as if they are acceptable bifnim. And if they're acceptable bifnim, then v'ikrivan b'chutz chayav. If you do akravat chutz or halab b'chutz, in that instance, you're going to be chayav. Now that's probably true both of shchita and ha'alah, even though the Mishnah is only speaking about ha'alah, by Tosafot in a couple of places in the Masech, the note, that the same then applies to shchita, and therefore you'll be chayav for shchitat chutz and halah b'chutz in these situations if either you have a korban that's kasher and that it could have been brought bifnim, or a korban that's pasul, that even though it cannot be brought l'chatchila bifnim, if b'diavad it ended up on the mizbeach, lo yered, it won't come off the mizbeach, then that item also will be subject to the chiyuv of halah b'chutz and shchita b'chutz. Hamaleh kazait min ola u'min ha'imurim, Bachutz chayav. Someone who puts on a kazayit of an ola and a murim, bachutz is chayav. Over here, there is a machloket about the girsa, about min ha'emurim. Rashi has an alternate girsa, which is amale kazayit min ha'ola umi'emureha, and from its emurim. So there it has the possessive form, which means that it's an ola and it's emurim. That means within the same ola, we're speaking about the basar, the nitachim, the evarim, and the emurim, which in any other korban, like kodshei kodashim and kodshim kalim, would end up on the mizbeach. If you have both the kazayit of the ola that comes from the ola and emureha, its fats, then those two can combine to create a problem for halah b'chutz. And as Rashi notes over here, the reason being is because kulo kalil. The din of an ola is that it's kulo kalil on the mizbeach. That means there's no differentiation between emurim and basar. They all have the same din. So therefore, if you have basar and emurim combined together to make up a kazayit, which is the threshold for being chayav b'chutz, in that instance, you're going to be chayav, even though you don't have a kazayit of basar, you don't have a kazayit of emurim. So that's the way Rashi's girsa reads. And you can see the Shita Mikubetzet also in Ot Aleph brings a similar girsa. On the other hand, the girsa that we have in our Mishnah is hamaleh kazayit min ola u'min ha'emurim. In that instance, it could be referencing not to the emurim of an ola, but a murim of another korban. And that's because these are all items that belong on the mizbeach. An ola, in its entirety, kalil, belongs on the mizbeach. A murim from other korbanot also belong on the mizbeach. So here there's a possibility of being mitzaref, bringing them together and saying that if I have a kazayit from the ola and a murim from another korban that are combined together, make up that threshold of a kazayit of halah b'chutz, that you'd be chayav in that instance. Now, Tosafot in the Divrei Matkil Ola states unequivocally that there is no such ability to be mitzdareif things, because he's trying to figure out about a Mishnah and Me'ila, what is it speaking about, and he dismisses the possibility that it is about siruf between different things. He says, the apagav, mechayev b'chutz gizel, mikra, hani mile b'fnei atzman. That's only whether by themselves. Aval it's dirufei, lo. There's no such thing as me mitzdareif, different korbanot, in order to be chayav for halah b'chutz. Tosafot over there says it about certain items that are mentioned there, you could be michalek between the items that are in the Mishnah Me'ila versus Korbanot, where maybe Tosafot might agree. But from the surface, it looks like Tosafot and Rashi over here believe that you cannot be mitzdareif different Korbanot. On the other hand, if you have the girsa of our Mishnah of Emurim, it would seem that you could be mitzdareif Korbanot. And we find that other Rishonim believe that that is the case, that you can be mitzdareif from different Korbanot to be chayav halah b'chutz. And likely the machloket is, what exactly is the problem of halah b'chutz? Is the halah b'chutz a problem of can't take what was bifnim and do a b'chutz? If that's the case, then it focuses on a particular korban, because it'd be something that if it was done bifnim would have been kasher. So now when you bring it outside, that's when you have a violation of halah b'chutz. In that instance, it would have to revolve around a single korban, because that's the only thing that's going to be kasher bifnim. You can't take a chatzik zayit from one korban and a chatzik zayit from another korban and then be kasher bifnim. So if the focus is that which is kasher bifnim, if you do halah b'chutz, then you are chayav. In that instance, then it would be unlikely that you would allow for tziruf for korbanot. On the other hand, if you believe that the problem b'chutz is haktara, b'chutz, that you're doing a haktara of things that belong bifnim, but they're being done b'chutz, if the focus is really on the haktara and not on the aspect that it bifnim, it's kasher, then you could see the possibility of joining korbanot together. Because all you have to do is get to the threshold of taking items that belong inside and you're putting them outside. It's not about whether they are kasher bifnim and then you do alah b'chutz. Rather, the focus is that you're doing a haktara b'chutz of things that were inside or should have been inside. And therefore, you could have the single kazayit be mitzdareif to korbanot in order to be chayav from alah b'chutz. So you can see both sides of the coin over here. And the girsa will really determine as to which side you think the Mishnah is focusing on. And we'll see later on in the Braita also, this will come up again, the possibility of this concept of tziruf, whether it only applies to a single korban, or it applies to multiple korbanot. Alright, Tan Rabbanan. So now we have a quote from a Braita. And the Braita is really an explication on the Mishnah. It gives more detail to what we saw in the Mishnah, which is it takes the different categories of items that you have bifnim, and then when you are chayav from them b'chutz. So it says, Asher ya'ale ola. So that's in the pasuk of halah b'chutz, with Zalayim tomar ish ish mi beit Yisrael min ager asher yagur b'tocham, asher ya'ale ola o zavach. So it says, Asher yale ola o zavach. Ein li ala ola. So now the post explicitly states in ola, minayin rabot emurei asham, veemurei chatat, veemurei kodshei kodoshim. Well, you already covered all the kodshei kodoshim. You have an ola, chatat, and asham. What's left, as the Rashi points out, is the kibsei atzeret, which is the shalmei tzibur. So all of those emurim and emurei kodshei kalim, how do I know that those are all included? Tamalomar, pasuk here says, O Zavach. And the Shita Megubetzer over here, in Ot Gimel, adds on an additional piece to the Braita when he says, O Minayin Rabot Et Adam. How do I know that Zrikat Adam Bachutz also is problematic in terms of Allah Bachutz? That is, Tamalomar, O Zavach. That is from O Zavach. And that aligns with the position of Rabbi Akiva we saw back on Daf Kuf Zayin, the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, as to where we know that there's an Isser of Zrikat Hadam, even when you do one portion of the Zrikat Hadam Bachutz that you are Chayav. Rabbi Akiva learned it out from O Zavach, and therefore what the Shita Megubetzer is doing is indicating that this Braita is following the position of Rabbi Akiva, not that of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel learned that out of Dam Yechashiv. Reminayin Rabot HaKometz V'Alibuna V'Aktoret U'Minchat Kohanim U'Minchat Kohen Mashiach. So these are all items that belong in the Mizbeach. These are matirim that go on the Mizbeach inside the Mikdash. Kometz is from a Minchat Israel. That's the part that goes on the Mizbeach. Halibona is also the frankincense that comes along with the Kometz and is placed on the Mizbeach. Ketoret, again, is something that's placed on the Mizbeach. Bifnim. Minchat Kohanim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach really are the same because they're both Khalil, so they go in their entirety on the Mizbeach. The difference being the size of them. A Minchat Kohen is a regular Minchat Nedava that is Khalil. Minchat Kohen Mashiach is the Minchat Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, or Minchat Chinuch of a Kohen Hedyot that is brought in the Mikdash. That's also Khalil. It's just a size difference between the Minchat of a Kohen, but for the same reason, these are Kulei Khalil, and they end up entirely on the Mizbeach. As opposed to the Mincha of Israel, where only the Kometz gets on the Mizbeach, the Sharia Mincha don't go on the Mizbeach, and therefore the Sharia Mincha are not relevant with regards to Hala Bachutz. Or HaMenaseich Shloshet Lugim Yain, or someone who pours a wine libation of 3 log, or Shloshet Lugim Mayim, or he pours a water libation of 3 log. Over here Rashi qualifies that and says that it has to be a situation Bachag, it has to be on Sukkot, u'b'muktashim l'chag, and the waters were sanctified to be used on Sukkot. So Rashi says that the context is important. You can't just have a water libation without any context to it. Water libations are not meaningful except on Sukkot, and except in the case where the water's already been consecrated to be used bifnim. Otherwise, just pouring a water libation has nothing to do with halah b'chutz, because it's not something that would have been used bifnim. So that's why Rashi qualifies those shloshet lugim. The reason for shloshet lugim is because these are the smallest of the libations that are brought. Therefore, there's a minimum threshold of shloshet lugim with regards to yayin and with regards to mayim. We saw earlier that there was a machloket as to what the minimum shiur for these items are. Here we're following the shita that it is 3 lugim is the minimum shiur for these items. How do I know that these are also items that if you're maleh b'chutz you're going to be chayav? Tamalomar. So the subsequent pasuk says, ve'el petach omoed lo yevienu, that he didn't bring it to omoed, the petach omoed. I mean, that was something that should have been brought to the Petach Omoed, and you didn't bring it to Petach Omoed, you're going to be chayav for that. Kol haba, the Petach Omoed, chayav min alav b'chutz. Anything that should have gone to the Petach HaOmed should have been put on the Mizbeach. That is something that you're chayav alav b'chutz. V'ein li'ela kodoshim k'sherim. So far, everything we've enumerated in the Braita are kodoshim k'sherim, things that are put on the Mizbeach in their proper form, and this is the normal way to do the avodah with them. If instead of doing the avodah properly in the Mikdash, you did it b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. We had concentric circles of items that expanded what's included here. We started out with the olah. Then we had all the other korbanot that have portions of them that are put on the Mizbeach. That was included from Zavach. The possibility, according to Shita Mekubetzet, that O Zavach also included Dam, or Zrikat Adam. And then now we just included all the items that are Matirim, including Akometz, Levona, Ktoret, Minchat Kohanim, Minchat Kohanim Mashiach, and the Isuchim, that they're also included from El Petach HaMoed, Lo Yevienu. So now we've expanded it to include all of these kosher items that go on the Mizbeach. They're subject to a restriction of Malei B'chutz. Alright, so then the Braita moves from Kochim K'sherim, Manayin Rabot P'sulim. How do we know to include P'sulim? Kagon. What are examples of that? Halan, something that stayed past its expiry time. Hayotze, something left the perimeters of where it was contained and wasn't supposed to go out of. Hatamei, something that became Tamei, Shinishchat Chutz Lizmano, has a Machshevet Pigul, Chutz Limkomo, Machsheva of Chutz Limkomo, Shekibalo Psulim, or Psulim did the Kabbalat Adam, Mizerku Adamo, and they did the Zrikat Adam. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta, whether those two are connected, whether it has to be Kabbalah and Zrikat Adam by the Psulim, or these are two separate issues, Kabbalah B'Psulim and Zrikah Ayyadei Psulim. Either way, these are all items that if the Allah, if they ended up in the Mizbeach, Lo Yerid, so even despite the fact that they are Psulim Bakodesh, and also, anitanim lamata, shinatanan lamalo, damim that should have gone below the chutz sikra that were placed above the chutz sikra, anitanim lamalo, or damim that were supposed to be placed above the chutz sikra, like a chatat, shinatanan lamata, and you put them below the chutz sikra instead, anitanim b'chutz, things that belong on the mizbeach kitzon, shinatanan bifnim, instead you put them on the mizbeach hazahav, bifnim in the hechal, anitanim bifnim, or dam that should have gone on the mizbeach hazahav, bifnim, b'chutz, you put them on the Mizbeach b'chutz. All of these are things that are psulim with regards to the Korban. They are posel the Korban, but they are psulo b'kodesh. U'pesach v'chatat, and the likely girsa change should be here, shishachtan shelo lishman, that was shechtan shelo lishman, which we know from the first mission in the Perek means that they are psulim. Minayin, how do I know any of these items that were mukrav b'chutz, or hu'ala b'chutz, that you're chayav for hala b'chutz then? Tamalomar, lo yivienu la'asot. So there's this additional la'asot over here. Kol ha-mitkabel, petach omoed, chayvin alav b'chutz. Anything that's accepted, petach omoed, you're chayilav alav b'chutz. Now Rashi over here explains, la'asot, what is the relevance of the asiyah over here? It says, mashma haru'in la'asot. Things that are ra'uy for an asiyah to be done about them. Afilu ein ra'uy lavo. Even if it's not ra'uy lavo petach ha'omoed, but it is la'asot petach ha'omoed. V'hani nami kevin dim alu lo yerdu. All these situations where if they ended up in his bech, he wouldn't take them off. Kohen nizkak la'hafech behem tzinora. He would have to then actively flip them over on the pyre. Oh, la'halutam me'rosh mizbech la'maracha. Or he'd have to move them from the rosh mizbech onto the pyre itself. Ru'in la'asot green and bay. These are items that have asiyah associated with them. So, from Rashi you hear, and this is brought up by many of the achronim over here, that Rashi requires an asiyah. That means they have to do something active. So not only is it active in the sense that you have to actually engage, but it has to be something that you're compelled to engage with. So it has to be something that you have a chovah, an obligation to take care of. It's not something if it ends up in the Mizbeach, you just leave it on the Mizbeach, but you have no obligation vis-a-vis that item. Rather, it has to be something that if it ends up in the Mizbeach, you have to actively engage with it, meaning that now the Mizbeach has been collate that item, and since it's been collate that item, it now is Mekadesh, the item, to the point that the Kohen has to engage. So even though it doesn't qualify as Ve'el Petach Umoed Lo Yevienu, because it wasn't any Chiyuv to be brought, the Petach Umoed, nevertheless, from the perspective of Asiyah, there is a requirement of asiyah over here once it ends up on the Mizbeach. And therefore we learn from the word la'asot to include all of these items. We did learn 2 days ago's daf on Kuf Zayin that la'asot oto, which will come up later in today's daf, that means you have to do it bishalem. It has to be something that's whole and not chaser. But that's from the word oto. The oto over there is something that is bishalem uto. Whereas la'asot is the focus over here. which is something that doesn't have a requirement of biyat. We brought the petach omeid, but it does have a requirement of le'asot if it ends up on the mizbeach, or if there is some sort of kedusha that grabs the item, then there'll be an obligation to engage and to do things with it, and that's enough to make you chayav if you do akterat chutz with any of these items. Now, as the Baal Tosafot pointed out in yesterday's daf, in the Tosafot on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the Tosafot, he points out that this braita that we're bringing over here is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that is because the braita brings a number of examples, but the examples that are brought here leave out two examples that you would have expected to be brought in a braita like that. And that is Nishchat Balailo, that's not mentioned in this braita of a psul, as well as Nishpach Dama, or the spilling of the blood. Those both should have been obvious items that are psulan bakodesh that should have been mentioned in this braita that imalu lo yerdu. The fact that they're absent in the braita, Tosafot claims, makes it that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this braita. So that's something to note over here, that he thinks that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the braita because of the absence of other psulim b'kodesh, which Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon about, and therefore he assigns the authorship of this braita to Rabbi Yehuda. In addition, what's very interesting here is the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayot, who usually is commenting on the Mishnah, actually quotes this part of the Gemara, and he brings a different version of the conclusion of the Gemara. And he says, the fact that things that are psulim are still subject to halah b'chutz or chiyuv halah b'chutz is because beviraya al kozeh. They brought a proof to all this from a braita in the Gemara, b'mashinemar, because the pasuk says lasot oto lahashem. Because that's the continuation of the pasuk, is lasot oto lahashem. The Rambam believes that his focus is not on the word lasot, rather on the word lahashem. Kol naseh lahashem chayvin alav b'chutz. Anything that has been processed for Hashem is chayav b'akterat chutz. That means that according to the Rambam, anything that was started out in a process of being done towards the goal of putting it on the Mizbeach in the Mikdash, which means Shechita was done. After that point, if anything goes wrong, then according to the Rambam, it still have a chiyuv of Akhtarah B'chutz. And that's because it was done LaHashem. The whole point of this item was to be done LaHashem. Something went wrong. Something stopped us from being able to complete the process. But because it was begun by processing it towards Hashem, that's enough to make you chayav Akhtarah B'chutz. That's a much broader definition of what's captured here by the fact that it's psulo b'kodesh. According to Rashi, the only things that are captured are, first of all, psulo b'kodesh, which is imalu lo yerdu. But in addition to that, it has to be something imalu lo yerdu, where then the item is then mikudash, and you have to engage with it. And lasot, you have an obligation to move it from the Rosh HaMizbeach onto the pyre. Or it's on the pyre, you have an obligation to deal with it, to turn it over, and to make sure that it gets consumed. On the other hand, if it was an item that imalu yerdu, number one, of course, it would not be included. And even certain items where there's no need to put them on the Mizbeach, and they don't belong in the Mizbeach, but if they end up on the Mizbeach, we just leave them there. There again, Rashi would not include those in items that you be chayav haktarah chutz, because those are items that you don't have to actively engage. We don't tell you to move it from Rosh Mizbeach onto the pyre. It's just, if it ends up in the pyre, we let it go. We tell you, it's lachmo shel Mizbeach, as the Gemara termed it before. It becomes the lechem haMizbeach, so we don't remove it. Being the lechem Mizbeach, according to Rashi, is not enough to make you chayav haktarat chutz. You need something that is lasot, something we have to actively engage when there's an obligation to deal with it. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a huge, broad definition, which is anything's lasot oto lashem. Anything that was processed for Hashem, was brought and begun the process of being brought towards Hashem, that's enough to qualify you to be haktarat chutz. That would mean even imalu yerdu, according to that view of the Rambam, that still would be something that you're chayav haktarat chutz. So again, it's a very broad, broad definition that the Rambam's bringing over here based on the way that he has the source out of the Braita here. And in some ways, seemingly, is contradictory with some of the Gemarot that seem to indicate that there's some connection between Imalu, Lo Yerdu, and the fact that you're Chayav Akhtarah Chutz. Over here, it seems to capture a much larger swath of items that became Sulan Bakodesh. It's just important to note that the Rambam reads the Braita as a source, or the source pasuk they bring at the end, not being from the word lasot, but rather a fuller phrase over here, which is lasot oto lashem, and he focuses on the lashem aspect of it. Alright, next, going on at the end of the Mishnah, which says, amale kezayit min haula. That's the last part of the Mishnah that we read before. Ola ve'emureha, so that is the girsa that Rashi has, ola ve'emureha in, Shlamim ve'emurehen lo. So then, if you read it this way, it means Nola and her emurim that are go together, that din is true. Shlamim ve'emurehen lo. But when it comes to Shlamim and their emurim, that would not be true. And again, the difference is obvious, which is that by Nola, it's Kula Khalil. Since it's Kula Khalil, then the Basar and the Emurim have the same din. And then Shlamim, the Emurehem, there the Shlamim, the Basar, does not go on the Mizbeach, whereas the Emurim do go on the Mizbeach. So then they're not Mitzdareif in that case, because the Shlamim themselves don't belong on the Mizbeach. They're not something that is Ra'ui Lifnim. It's not something that is Shayach to the world of Haktara, and therefore the Shlamim and the Emurim are not going to join together. So that's the diuk that we want to make out of our Mishnah. Once again here, you have the same issue as to whether the mitzdarfim over here is pola mitzdarfim is only within a single korban or is between korbanot. And you can ask the same question with regards to what we had with halah b'chutz before, which is that when the Gemara here is saying about shlamim and emurim, is it shlamim and its own emurim? Or it's shlamim and another set of emurim from another korban? And you could ask the same question or query as to whether this has application to only a korban and its own emurim, or does it have application even to a korban and another korban's emurim? Maybe you could be mitzaref them to do halah b'chutz. And again, that will have to do with the nature of the girsa that you have both in the Mishnah and in the Braita. Tanina, ahad tanu rabbanan. Our Mishnah is also similar to a Braita that we have. Ola ve'emreha mitztafim lekezayit lahalutam b'chutz ulachayev aleyem mishum pigul notar v'tamei. So we have a Tosefta that tells us that Ola and emreha, first of all, are mitztafim lekezayit. They can join together to create the kezayit v'chayav halah b'chutz. That's exactly our Mishnah. The second half of the Braita is ulachayev aleyem mishum pigul notar v'tamei. Here it sounds like that you're going to be chayav for pigul notar b'tamei if you consume these items. Meaning that if the basar and the imrim of the ola are now pigul, if you consume a kezayit worth between them, you're going to be chayav for consumption of pigul. Notar, if they were left past their expiry, you're going to be chayav joining the imrim and the basar together. And tamei also has the same din. If you have tamei tumata guf and you go to consume these items, you're going to be chayav, even if you don't have a kezayit from one of them, if you're a kezayit of the combined item. So the Gemara says, Vishlama ha'ala. I understand when you're talking about halah lachutz, bachutz, olah de kalil in shlamim lo. I understand the distinction between olah and shlamim, as we explained it before in the Mishnah, and we just explained it again. It makes sense that an olah, which is kalil, the basar and the imurim, will have the same din. Whereas by a shlamim, where the basar doesn't go on the mizbeach, then there's no reason to believe that you can be chayav for halah b'chutz. So I understand the distinction that's being drawn between an olah and a shlamim with regards to halah b'chutz. But, ela pigul notar v'tamei, my taima. Why would you ever distinguish between pigul notar v'tamei, between olah and shlamim? And beyond that, v'hatanan, we have a Mishnah. Kol pigulim mitzdarfim. Anything that is pigul can be mitzdarif together to get you the kezayit. Kol notarim. Anything that's left over, part six expiry day combined to cause you to have a chiyuv with regards to notar. Now, as Rashi explains over here, with regards to pigul, the machshevet pigul can affect basar of the shlamim and can affect the emurim of the shlamim. And so both of them are deemed to be pigul. So why can't you be mitzdareif, the basar of the shlamim, to the emurim to come up with a kezayit with a pigul? They're both pigul, and all pigul, as we see in the Mishnah from Me'ilah, is combinable. It's something that can be joined together to reach the threshold of a kezayit. So why should you see over here there's any difference between an olah and a shlamim? The olah, yes, it's all going on the mizbeach, so it's all the same form of pigul, which is that someday you had a machshava to put the olah on the mizbeach after the time that you're supposed to. So that's one type of pigul. But by the shlamim, so you have different types. You had in mind to eat the basar past the time that you're supposed to. You had in mind to put a mirim on the mizbeach past the time you're supposed to. There you can combine them together to be chayav for pigul. So why should there be any distinction between olah and shlamim? All right, so now the Gemara summarizes the question, which is kasha pigul a pigul, kasha notar a notar. You have a stira here between pigul in the Tosefta and pigul in Me'ilah. Similarly, by Notar, you have the same problem, which is that in the Mishnah in Me'ilah, it says they are mitzaref, and in this Brayta from the Tosefta, it's saying that they're not mitzaref. When it says pigol a pigol lo kasha, pigol is not a kasha, kan be pigol, kan be machshevet pigol. We're dealing with different issues. We're dealing with one side, the eating of pigol. Regards to the eating of pigol, the Mishnah and Masechet Me'ilah governs, and that is that all pigulim can be mitzaref in order for you to be chayav. So any pigul that's combined to reach a kazayit will make you chayav. When it comes to being mitzaref, basar, and emurim, that's not true by machshevet pigul. That's something that we saw earlier in the Masechta. When it comes to machshevet pigul, if you have a machshava on achilat mizbeach and achilat adam, chatzi kazayit of achilat mizbeach and chatzi kazayit of achilat adam, they are not mitzaref to cause it to be pigul over here. So that's the difference between our Mishnah and the Tosefta that say that Ola, yes, Shlamim, no. Because by an Ola, the Machshava on the Basar and the Emurim are the same Machshava because they're both about Achilat Mizbeach. And therefore, they can be Mitzdareif to create the Kazayit that will make it into Pigul. But by a Shlamim, Chatzi Kazayit of Machshava about the Basar, Chatzi Kazayit Machshava about the Emurim, they're not going to be Mitzdareif. That's Chatzi Kazayit of Achilat Mizbeach and Chazik Zayit of Achilat Adam. And they can be mitzaref to generate Pigul in this case. Notar, anotar, lokasha. Notar also is not a question, because kan binotar, the case, and again, the Mishnah Mi'ilah, is literal notar. When you left something past the expiry, they can combine together, different notarot can combine together to make you chayav for ekazayit. Kan bishenito true. Here's a case where they are residual, Ad shalon nizrak adam, before the dam was placed on the mizbeach, umani, and it follows the authorship of Rabbi Yeshua. That is the view of Rabbi Yeshua, argues on Rabbi Eliezer, and we'll see right now, Tetanya, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shebetorah, any korban in the Torah, shenishtar ben kezayit basar, as long as you have a kezayit of basar, ukezayit chelev, or a kezayit chelev, zorek et hadam. Then you have the right to be zurek et adam. Chatzi zayit basar, chatzi zayit chilev, eno zurek et adam. Then you don't have permission to do zurek et adam. Ube ola, an ola, that's different, zayit basar, chatzi zayit chilev, zurek et adam, mipnei shukula kalil. There you can't do the zurek et adam because it is kula kalil. What this is referencing to is how much do you need to have left over a korban in order to perform the zurek et adam. The zurek et adam is the ikar kapara. But the Iker Kapara has to be associated with being Matir something. That's based on the Pasuk that's found in Devarim Yud Bet. It says, Vasita Olotecha HaBasar V'Hadam Al Mizbach HaShem Elokecha. So you see there a correlation between the Basar and the Dam. And then by other Korbanot you have, Dam Zvachecha Ishafech Al Mizbach HaShem Elokecha VaBasar Tochel. So there is a correlation between the Zvikat Adam and being Matir, the Basar. So Zvikat Adam is only considered to be efficacious if it is Matir some Basar. So that Basar requires at least a minimum of Kezayit Basar in order for the Dam to be effective in the Zvikat Adam. And the same thing is true with regards to Chelev. And so what he says here is that you need a minimum of Kezayit of Chelev or Kezayit of Basar in order to allow the Korban to go through. Pasuk says by the Chelev, Zaraka Kohen at the Dam, Viktira Chelev. Over there you have the possibility of Zrikat Adam without Basar, and over here you have the possibility of Zrikat Adam without the Chelev. But you need at least one of them. You either need the Basar or the Chelev to allow for the Zrikat Adam to take effect. So for Rabbi Yeshua, that means that you either have Basar or Chelev. By all other Korbanot, Basar and Chelev have two different purposes. Basar is eaten, Chelev ends up on the Mizbeach. So they have to be separate. They cannot be combined. You need either a kazayit of basar, or you need a kazayit of chelev. That's not true by the ola. By the ola, since the basar and the chelev both end up in the mizbech, it's kaleo, then they are the same form of what mizrika is matir. And therefore they can join together to create a kazayit of residual of the korban to allow you to do the zrikat hadam. And so that'll explain the difference between them. Now, as the Bali Tosafot explained, Rashi says something similar. The Bali Tosafot say it more explicitly, that what the Gemara is saying over here, because it's a little strange, the Lashon HaBraita, Because then the Breita says about this, Chayav aleha mishim pigul notar v'tameh. You're chayav for pigul notar v'tameh. That's not what we're saying anymore. We're saying now the explanation of that Breita, that Tosefta is, you are allowed to put the Zvika the dam on the Mizbeach if you have Shinit Tochu, if you have notar. So what does that have to do with the Chiyuv notar? That has to do with the fact that you have residual Basar and Chilib to allow you to do the Zvika the dam. The way that Tosefot explains it is that this becomes a good Zvikat Adam. Therefore, since it is a good Zvikat Adam, these Isurim of Pigol, Notar, and Tamei will be effective, will be able to take place or be a psul in this Korban, because now you have a Kosher Zrika. And you need a Kosher Zrika in order to be Mefagel the Korban. You need a Kosher Zrika in order for it to be deemed to be Notar. You need a Kosher Zrika in order for it to become a problem for Tumat Aguf. And that is because, as Rashi and the Bali Tosafot note the same thing, that first of all, by notar, we say kol anitar l'toharim is chayavim ala mishum tumah. Anything that is nitar to a tahor is allowed to eat it, then someone who is tameh b'tumat aguf cannot eat it. So if the zvika of the dam is not effective, then toharim can't eat it. There's no chayuv karet associated with someone who is tameh b'tumat aguf in consuming such a korban. That's what we learn with regards to Tumah. And then we have a Gzeira Shava between Tamei and Notar to teach us the same thing. That by Notar, only something that is Nitar the Torim can become Notar. Something that was never Nitar the Torim can become Notar. Or you're not Chayav Alav it Mishum Notar. And Pigul, we know that it has to be that the Matir is Nikrav Kihilchato. Aside from the problematic Machshava of Chutz Lizmano, the remainder of the Korban has to be put on the Mizbeach properly. So over here, if you don't have an efficacious Tzvikat Adam, none of these Psulim will kick in. And so what we're speaking about here is the Achila of these items. If the person eats these items afterwards, he will be Chayav Pigol, Notar, and Tamei, because the Tzvikat Adam was good. Now Tosafot says, given that answer, you didn't even need to have Pigol al Pigol Lokasho. The answer we gave for Pigul is not necessary anymore because you can answer the same way that we answered for Notar, you can answer for Pigul. Because this is a more generic statement about the Korban that if this has a residual Basar and Chelev, then you can do Zrikat Adam, which then facilitates the ability to have the Isurim of Pigul, Notar, Betameh take effect. So that's the way that we are explaining Nito Tru over here. The Breit then continues and says, Umincha afilu kula kayemet, lo yizrok, that in mincha, even if the entire thing is there, you don't do zrikat adam. Gemara asks, mincha, mayavidta. What is a mincha doing over here? Zrikat, mincha, there is no such thing as a zrika or zrikat adam with regards to a mincha. So what is that doing in a braita that's speaking about zrikat adam? Amar apapa, this is the explanation of that part of the Tosef, the braita, minchat nisachim habayim azevach. If the minchat nisachim that comes with the Zevach is still residual, that's not enough to allow you to do the Zrikat Hadam. Over here we said that there was a requirement, or a minimum requirement, of a Kazayit Basar, Kazayit Chelev, in order to do the Zrikat Hadam. That's only true of Basar and Chelev. If you have a Minchat Nisachim that is left over, that's not enough to allow you to do the Zrikat Hadam. You need something from the actual core Korban, not something that is an external addition that comes along with the Korban, to allow you to put on the Zrikat Hadam. And that's what the Breita means, that Minchat Nisachim doesn't help you at all. Even if it's Kula there, it doesn't help you with regards to the Zrikat Hadam. We're going to move on now to the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kometz ve'alivona faktore, Minchat Kohanim, Minchat Kohen Mashiach, Minchat Nisachim, Shikriv me'achat mehem kezait bachutz, chayav. So here you have a list of items that are differentiated from the korbanot, and that's going to be important in a second, which is these are all dealing with menachot and ktoret and all those other things that go on the mizbeach that are not behemot, are not korbanot. So you have the kometz that goes from a mincha, you have the levona, which goes from a mincha as well, along with the kometz on the mizbeach, haktoret, which goes on the mizbeach ha-pnimi, mizbeach ha-zahav, you have the minchat kohanim, minchat kohen mashiach, which both are kalil and go on the mizbeach, these are all items that go on the mizbeach, and minchat nesachim is also something that comes along with the korban, that mincha is kula kalil on the mizbeach. Any of these items, shikriv, me'achat mehem kezayit b'chutz, chayav. If you're makriv, even a kezayit worth b'chutz, you are chayav. Rabbi Elazar puter. Rabbi Elazar says you are patur. Ad shiakriv et kulan. Until you put the entirety of the item on the mizbeach. So now Rashi explains over here, we had a discussion yesterday that the requirements by Allah b'chutz and Shechita b'chutz, that it has to be shalem. It has to be whole. And there we had different opinions about what shalem was. Some said that it had to be shalem meant the whole behemah. Some said shalem meant that it had to be the entire aver. Rashi over here claims that there is another opinion. And the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim in this Mishnah follows a view that the shlemut that is required over here is that it meets the threshold of haktara, as what Rashi says over here. Ki kitiv oto ala shalem hu chayav, veno chayav ala chaser, ashiur haktara ktiv. Means they have to meet the minimum threshold of haktara in order to be chayav. Behainu, and what's that minimum threshold? Kizayit v'Rabbi Elazar nami midlo poligaresha. It's important here is that this Mishnah follows the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we didn't see any dissent from Rabbi Elazar. That means that Gabe Ola, Achanami Darishle, he thinks the same thing with regards to an Ola, that the Shi'ur Haktara is the threshold for being Chayav Bachutz. And therefore they believe that a Kazayit is that threshold, not like we saw in Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnayot that we dealt with yesterday. And so that the Shalem that we're speaking about is a Kazayit, and that's true for the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar didn't disagree by regards to Korbanot. So then why does he disagree here with regards to the Kometz, the Levona, and all these other items here? So Rashi explains that over here, Urbanan, Bahani Nami Havi Akhtaran B'Kazayit. So Chachamim believe just like by a Korban, the minimum threshold of Akhtaran is a Kazayit, so too by these items that are enumerated in the Mishnah here, their minimum threshold is a Kazayit. Heicha Tekula Kayam. As long as the totality of it is still in existence, Bukhisru Kodem Akhtara, and they're not missing anything before the Akhtara that goes on the Mizbeach. So that's the view of the Chachamim. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar believes that here there is a requirement that the entire item end up on the Mizbeach. Now the Chachamim don't disagree that you have to have the entire item there, but you have to have the entire item there in order to put a Kazayit worth on the Mizbeach. So the Kazayit of that going on the Mizbeach will be classified as Akhtara when the entire of the item is in existence. So they agree that there is a necessity for the entire item to be around, but they still believe that there is a haktara of a kazayit. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, says that it is a requirement that kula goes on the mizbeach. If that's the case, then that is the minimum threshold of haktara for these items, is kula. The entirety of this item is the shir haktarato, even bifnim. Since that's the shir haktara bifnim, that'll also be the shir haktara b'chutz, and you're only going to be chayav b'chutz if you put the entire of the item behala b'chutz. Tosfos will not need to explain that this is a third shita over here, because already, as we explained in yesterday's daf, Tosfos believes that the opinions there say that the first kazayit that you are makriv, you are chayav for, as long as the remainder of the item is then put on the mizbeach. And in that way, the Balya Tosfos say that this opinion is just an extension of what we saw yesterday with regards to the requirement of a whole Aver or a whole Beima, and we're speaking about that Kazayit Rishon that's going on to the Mizbeach. So then we have the Kulan, Shikriv Bifnim. In all these items, if you were Makriv Bifnim, Bishir Mehen Kazayit, and you left over a Kazayit, Vikrivo Bachutz Chayav, then if you do Akrava Bachutz, you're going to be Chayav. So now Rashi says about the Kulan over here, Ola Rabbi Elazar, Nami, Rabbi Elazar is going to agree with this over here when he says v'kulan shekriv b'fnim v'shir ben, and it's left over. He agrees that shir haktara is significant, and over here, since the shir haktara is the final or residual kazayit in this item, he will agree if you put that kazayit on b'chutz, you're going to be chayav, because that would have been the haktara that you would have done b'fnim that would have finished off the process. Since that would have finished the process and got it kula ala mizbeach, then if you take that kazayit b'chutz, you're going to be chayav, because again, Rabbi Elazar agrees that the minimum threshold for haktara, or to be classified as haktara, is a kazayit. So here, where you're the last kazayit, then even he will agree that if you're maktir b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. V'chulan, shechisru kolshu, any of these items that has any part of it missing, v'krivo b'chutz, and then you're maktir b'chutz, patur, you are patur. And again here, this would be even according to the chachamim. Chachamim agree that you need the entirety of this item to be in existence in order to be chayav for a kazayit. But if there's any portion of it missing, then the kazayit of haktara is not effective, because you don't have that minimum threshold of the entirety of the item in order to make it kasher by haktara. And over here, Rashi says, "V'hai kulan lava livona koi." That kulan that we said over here is not applicable to livona, and that is because he says there's a machloket in the Gemara Menachot with regards to livona as to how much has to be missing before the livona is problematic. Rabbi Shimon k'shera afilu amdal koret. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's enough even if you have a single granule left. Whereas for Rabbi Yehuda, v'shnei kratin, and if you have two granules left, via levona namikoi. And if you want to tell me now that the word kulan means kulan and it includes levona over here, the way to explain it is shechashra mishur hechshera. It means that it was missing its shur hechsher. So for the other items, the shur hechsher is kosher if it's missing. Over here for the levona, it's not that. It, as long as you have this residual left in it, that's enough to be considered kosher. If you're missing that, if you're gone below that threshold, for Rabbi Yehuda means two kratin, and for Rabbi Shimon means one karet, if you go below that threshold, then also there, you will not be chayav if you're makribit bachutz. So Rashi speaks to this issue of the levona, that the levona is slightly different than these other items, where the other items have a shiur of kula, whereas the levona does not have a shiur of kula. Now, there are those that disagree with Rashi's conclusion here, because they say that that's only in a case where the remainder of the item was missing. How much residual levona do you have in order to allow the levona to go on the mizbeach? So that's what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue, according to those opinions that believe that over here, kulan would apply to levona as well. But in a case where the levona exists and it's going to be placed on the mizbeach, over there you're going to require that the entire levona be available. If any of it's missing, then you're not going to be allowed to put it on the mizbeach b'fnim, and that also means that you're not chayav for it ba'chutz. Then the last line of the Mishnah is Hamale Kodoshim ve'imurim b'chutz chayav. Someone who puts on Kodoshim and Emurim, Kodoshim here means besides an Ola, Kodoshim besides an Ola, when you put the Basar and Emurim and the Mizbeach b'chutz, you are chayav. Now that assumes that you have a kazayit worth of Emurim in that Hala. And the Chiddush here is that the Basar doesn't get in the way. Even though the Basar is not supposed to go on the Mizbeach and is not mechayav you for Hala b'chutz, nevertheless, if it's put together with Emurim, you still will be chayav for that, and we don't consider it to be a chatzitza or a problem for the emurim that have been placed on the mizbeach b'chutz to make you chayav. Right, Tana Rabbanan, hamaktir, and here you can see in the Shita Mekubezet Od Gimel, kezayit kitoret. Person is maktir, a kezayit worth of kitoret b'chutz is chayav. Chatzi pras bifnim patur. If you do half of a measure bifnim internally, that is patur. So Rashi explains over here that chatzi pras bifnim is lav davka chatzi pras. Doesn't literally mean half a pras worth. A pras is half a loaf. So chatzi pras is a half of a half of a loaf. So it doesn't write it literally, do it in the kezayit. Doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be that size, even if kezayit. Ela pachot mikishur hechsher mitzvata nakat. Means anything that is below the threshold of what the normal amount that would make you kasher in this case. The minimum shiur for the Torah is a maneh, and then the Torah says you bring a pras, baboker and a pras ben arabayim. So the pras here is a reference to each half, and then a chatzi pras would be less than that amount that is supposed to be brought in each instance. As long as it's above a kizayit, that is what it means here. Lav dafka, it means exactly a half of the required amount, just means less than the required amount, as long as it's above the threshold of a kezayit. So what the bright seemingly says here is, if you're maktir a kezayit worth of ketoret b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for that. That's halah b'chutz, and you're going to be chayav. On the other hand, bifnim, if you even have a chatzi pras, bifnim, if you're less than the threshold or the shi'ur, bifnim, then you're going to be patur. Kesaka datcha, you're thinking now, my patur, what does it mean patur over here? Patur zar. Patur means that a zar who's makriv this inappropriately is going to be patur. It's not classified as a haktara. Now, that's obvious that it's true, bifnim, that you can't be put on the mizbeach, so therefore the word patur is not relevant when you're speaking about being yotze, a korban. So the word patur means somebody's doing something wrong, and we're saying that they're not culpable for that. So what they're suggesting here is the patur means the zar is patur. So now, you have a kezayit worth goes b'chutz, you're chayav. Chatzi pras bifnim. If you have less than the requisite amount of ketoret bifnim, then the zar is patur because it's not classified as haktara. Amai. Why is that the case? Haktarai. You have a stira really between the first part of the Braita and the second part of the Braita. First part of the Braita seems to indicate that a kazayit worth a zaktaran, that's why you're chayav b'chut. So then why bifnim? If you're below the threshold of the totality of ketoret, then why are you not chayav as a zar if you brought a kazayit worth? A kazayit worth is classified as a haktaran. And I know that because when you do b'chut, you are going to be chayav. So I'm Rabbi Zeira, I'm Rabbi Chista, I'm Rabbi Irmiya, I'm a Rav, my patur. What does patur mean over here? Patur, tzibur. The tzibur discharges its obligation over here with regards to the ketoret. So if you get less than the requisite amount on the mizbeach, you still are yotzei as far as the community is concerned, or the tzibur is concerned, with regards to this ketoret that's being brought. So now that explains the braita, because now we're saying that a kazayit is considered haktarah. That's true. Again, if you do it b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. It's also true b'ifnim. If you at least get a kazayit on the mizbeach, the tzibur discharged their obligation. Samar Rabbi Zeira, ikashali, hakashali. You want to ask a question about this braita, this is the question you should ask. Hadamar Rav Allah, because on that, Rav said, he qualified it, b'ha afilo Rabbi Lazar modeh. On this issue, even Rabbi Lazar agrees. Da Rabbi Lazar lavaktari. Wait a minute, why should Rabbi Lazar agree? We know from Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar believes that in order to be chayav b'chutz for these items, you have to put the entirety of the item on the mizbeach. The komets, the levona, all these items, you have to place the entirety of the item on the mizbeach b'chutz in order to be chayav. The reason being is because bifnim, it's not considered haktarah until you put the entirety of the thing on the mizbeach. That seems to imply that Rabbi Lazar's view is that the minimum threshold for haktarah is the entirety of the item. So then why would, if you're saying that Rabbi Lazar agrees with this braita, say that if you're matir, a kazayit worth of ptor b'chutz, that you're going to be chayav for that? Why should you be chayav for that according to Rabbi Lazar? So what he's saying is Rav's statement here that Rabbi Lazar agrees in this case doesn't seem to bring true. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says no problem. Haktarah de'echal, you're speaking about the haktarah ta'ktoret, the daily ketoret, bin the heichal, which is brought in the kodesh on the mizbeach hazav, to kulei amelo plige. Nobody argues over there. Ki plige baktara dipnim. What we argue about is when you bring the haktarah ta'ktoret lifnai v'lifnim kodesh ha'kodeshim on Yom HaKippurim. That is because when it comes to the haktarah beichal, why is there no machloket about the minimum threshold? So Rashi claims over here because lo nemar bo shi'ur, that the ketoret that is brought daily in the mikdash, there is no shiur given to it. The high pras, shiur derabananu. And the fact that you bring a pras worth of ketoret each day, that's an imposition of the rabbanon. But it's not mida oraita. Mida oraita, there is no shiur for ketoret. Now that's a little hard to say because there are shiurim for ketoret. And that way you have to differentiate either that the making of the ketoret has a minimum shiur, but the Torah never gives a shiur for the haktarah of the ketoret, or maybe there's a minimum shiur to give it a shame ketoret, but there's no minimum shiur for it to be classified as haktarah. Given that that's the case, in haktarah v'eichal, even Rabbi Lazar is going to agree, whatever the amount is that is put b'chutz is going to be able to discharge your obligation, and similarly, any amount that's put on the mizbeach v'eichal is going to discharge the tzibur's obligation. So you'll be obligated in halav b'chutz and discharge obligation of a ketoret bifnim with any amount, assuming that it meets at least the minimum threshold of a kezayit, because that's what's considered to be haktarah, so that Rabbi Lazar even will agree with, because there is no shiur given by the Torah. On the other hand, when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, there is a minimum shiur, it's melo chofnav. It has to be two fistfuls worth of ketoret that is put on the pan that you bring lifnei v'ifnim in the kodesh hakodeshim. The marsavar melochoftav dafka. Rabbi Elazar believes when it says melochofnav, it means literally melochofnav. If you go below that amount, then you don't have the requisite amount. And number one, you're not going to discharge your obligation. Number two, you're not going to be chayav haktarah b'chutz. Marsavar melochofnav lav dafka. The chamim say melochofnav is not a absolute principle as to how much ketoret must go in. It might be that you need that much ketoret, but that doesn't tell you how much ketoret needs to end up on the pan that you're placing it on there. And therefore, even if you put a portion of it on there, you'll still be chayav b'chutz, as long, again, as there is a minimum of a kezayit. And similarly, the tzibur will discharge their obligation. Tosfot asks over here, why is there even a question with regards to what the position of the chachamim is? Maybe the chachamim believe that you do need a melochufnav of Ketoret on Yom HaKippurim, despite the fact they think you're chayav for Kazayit Bechutz. Because why should that be any different than a Kometz? Just like a Kometz, there's a requirement bifnim to put the entire Kometz on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, if you're Makriv, a Kazayit Bechutz, you're going to be chayav for it. So why can't you say the same thing about Ketoret that you say about a Kometz? So the Baal Tosafot say, because there is within the world of Kometz, the ability to have a machshova about a kazayit worth of a kometz and have impact on the korban. Because of that, you see that a kazayit has significance within the world of kometz. Ilka chashiv nami haktara. And therefore it gives chashivu to it that it's classified as haktara lechayiv a kazayit men bachutz. To say that by kazayit bachutz you're going to be chayav. So that's true in the world of kometz because we find manifestations where a kazayit is significant within the world of kometz. Aval b'ketoret, that's not true by the ketoret, because aval b'ketoret, lo ashkan d'choshiv haktara b'kezayit, find nowhere that it gives significance to the level of a kezayit with regards to ketoret, and therefore there's no reason to believe that when you're maktir ketoret b'chutz, you're chayav for a kezayit, when we find no indications that a kezayit is a significant amount, or chashuv with regards to the ketoret. And that's why we have to have the chachamim believe that whatever the shiur they believe is for Yom HaKippurim, also affect what the shiur is for Akhtara Bachutz. Rashi avoids the problem of the Tosafot's question by explaining the Dafka and Lav Dafka here in another manner. Rashi says, Mochuf Nav of Rabbi Lazar means you have to do it Bevat Achat. Do it all in one shot. You have to get all of that onto the pan. Chamim say you could do it in stages. Mochuf Nav is not Dafka, meaning it has to be done all at once, but rather it can be done in stages. At least if there's a Kazayit there, and each one would consider it Akhtara, so you get the entire amount onto the pan inside of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So that will explain the machloket now between them, which is that the machloket in our Mishnah is a case of Ketoret on Yom HaKippurim. The Braita that we brought that says that Kazayit is the threshold for Akhtara, and even Rabbi Lazar is going to agree with that, that's where we have the Ketoret of Eichal, the daily Ketoret, which has no Shiur, and that's why he agrees that a Kazayit will become the threshold for when you are Chayav B'chutz, as well as what is going to be Motzi the Tzibur there. Chiyuv. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says the Rabbo, his Rebbe, v'ha k'ktiva chuka, b'aktara d'pnimu d'chtiv. That doesn't make so much sense, because we know by the Abu Dav Yom HaKippurim, the word chuka, chok, is used over there, and that is an indication that it is me'akev. Anything that's written in the Parshia is going to be me'akev, and it's something that you must do. So if it says mochufnav in the Parshia, that means it's going to be me'akev. So how can you have anybody who suggests that Melochofnav is Lav Davka? Elam Abaye, so Abaye makes a different suggestion. Baktara bifnim kuliyama lo plige. When we're talking about Haktara inside the Mikdash, over there, nobody argues. Ki plige baktara dechutz. What they argue about is where it's done bachutz. So as far as the Melochofnav that's being put in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, so he accepts Rabba's basic principle, which is that the case of the Braita, where everybody agrees, is the daily ketoret. Because the daily ketoret has no shiur, and that's the case where even Rabbi Lazar is going to agree. Our Mishnah, where it says that there is a requirement, according to Rabbi Elazar, to bring the entire amount of ketoret, that's being about the ketoret on Yom HaKippurim. Now, everybody agrees when it comes to doing in the Eichal and the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim, you must do a Meloch Hofnav, a full Meloch Hofnav. But the question is, b'chutz. When you do akrava b'chutz or ala b'chutz, do you also have that requirement of meloch hofnav? And that is, mar savar yalfinan panim michutz. We learn out the Kodesh HaKodeshim from the Heichal. Which means, just like by the Torah of the Heichal, a kezayit is sufficient to be chayav b'chutz, so too, the Torah of lifnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which has a minimum shira of meloch hofnav in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, nevertheless, when you do a bachutz, since there's a manifestation in the Mikdash of Ketoret at the threshold of a Kazayit, you're going to be chayav for Kazayit, even though the minimum shear is a Meloch Hofnav inside. And the opinion of Rabbi Lazar is you don't learn that from the Ketoret Eichal. Ketoret of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Meloch Hofnav is that minimum shear, and so to bachutz, it's going to be the same shear. Whereas for the Chachamim, even though that's the minimum shear bifnim, when you do a bachutz, it'll be governed by the requirements of the Ketoret Eichal, which is that if you do that b'chutz, it's only a kezayit. Amar Rava, so now Rava challenges Abaye's explanation and says, Hashta chutz mi chutz lo yalfi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are unwilling to learn chutz from chutz, Then the fact that they're going to learn now the Kodesh HaKodeshim from Chutz, that makes any sense? So Mahi, what are you referencing to, Rabba? The Tanya, you have a brighter. Yochal amaleh pachot mikizayit kometz, upachot mikizayit imurim. You would think a person who puts out less than a kizayit of kometz, less than a kizayit worth of imurim, v'aminaseich pachot mishloshet lugim yayin, or you put on the mizbeach, a libation of less than 3 log of yayin, pachot mikimah logim yamayim, or less than 3 log of water, yei chayav, you would think it'd be chayav, tamalomar, la'asot. This is the limud that we saw before, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Al shalem chayav, enu chayav al chaser. You only chayav for something when you do it in its entirety, not when you do it that it's chaser. Ba, pachot, mishloshet lugim, de'itbu, kamasitim. Wait a minute, shlosha lugim, even if you have less than 3 log, you still have at least a minimum of a number of kezeitim here. Ve'lo yafin and rabbanon chutz mihutz. And yet the rabbanon don't take the din of ketoret and apply it to the nesach. So over there you're speaking about something that's outside, meaning that's something that's not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, yet we're not willing to learn from other items that are outside. So even though Nesachim go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and in the Mizbeach HaChitzon we find many manifestations of a Kezayit that is Mukrav there, and yet we don't say that that's the minimum threshold for Nesachim. So there, when you're on the equal footing, and you're in the same area, we don't extrapolate from one to the other, how are you going to suggest then that Lifnai Lifnim, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you're going to extrapolate a din from the Echal to that which is a din in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That doesn't make sense. So if they didn't do it, Chutz Michutz, Lo Yalfei Rabbanan, Pnei Michutz, Mibai, they didn't do it when two things are in the same area, they weren't willing to learn from one to the other. And certainly when we're dealing with two different areas, when you're dealing with Lifnai Lifnim, now you're going to apply the din of the Echal to the din of Kodesh HaKodeshim, that doesn't make sense. Elam Rava. So Rava makes a third suggestion as to how to explain the difference between the Braita and our Mishnah, as to why in one case Rabbi Lazar agrees with the Chachamim, and in our Mishnah where he disagrees with them. He says the following. Elam Rava could go into Kavinu, Shnei Chatzei Pras Bimana. It's a case where he takes the two parts of the Ketoret and puts them together in a single utensil. Mar Savar Kviut Mana Miltei. One of them, meaning Rabbi Lazar, believes that once you put it into a Kli, the Kli is mitzareif, that which is inside of it, to make it into a single entity. And therefore, since now it's a single entity, only if you place it on the Mizbeach Bachutz in its entirety, are you going to be Chayav. Whereas, Marsavar, Lav Milti, the fact that you put it into a Kli doesn't change the fact that you have two halves over here, or you have two portions of Ketoret over here, and they are separate portions. Just because they're sitting in a single Kli doesn't change the fact that they are two different entities. The question here is, when you put together two minimum shiurim in a kli, so over here, if the minimum shiur is a kezayit, and you put at least two kezeitim into this kli, is that mitzareif? Does that join them together now to become a single entity until it reaches the level of the shiur of haktara for this item? Or do we say that it still remains in its component parts of the minimum shiur that would have been qualified here? So this kezayit here is the minimum shiur of haktara. When you put two kezeitim together, or more than two kezeitim together, does that then become a single entity? That's the view of Rabbi Lazar. Or does it remain a kezeit, a kezeit, a kezeit, which is the minimum shiur of haktara, and that's the view of the Rabbanon. And then Rava extrapolates from his own din in the Shita of the Chachamim and says the following. Amar Rava, hashto lemanda mark viuta demona loklumu. The fact that you place it into a kli is not sufficient to join them together and make them into a single entity, which is the view of the Chachamim. When you subscribe to that view, Kava Shadsha Lapar, if you separate it out, the 6 log, which is the Chatzi Ahin that is required for the Nisuch Hayayin with regards to the Par, and you put them into a Kli, and now they should all be mitzarei to become a single entity, Mashach Mehen Arba'a, and then you pulled out of them 4 log, which is actually the requirement of a nesech for an ayo, which is shlishit tahin, v'ikrivan bachutz, and you do akrava of those 4 bachutz, chayav, shiruin la'ayo, because they would have been a good nesech for an ayo. Kava arba'a la'ayo, or if you put in a single utensil, 4 log, which is a shlishit tahin for the ayo, umashach man shlosha, and then you pulled out of there 3 log, which is the nesech for a keves, which is revi'it tahin, and v'ikrivan bachutz, and then you were makriv that bachutz, chayav. There you're going to again be chayav shirui in the keves, because they are the nesech, or the minimum nesech for a keves, which is 3 log. Chasru kolshu, if they go below the threshold of 3 log, v'ikrivan b'chutz patur, then you are patur. So that is what we saw before, that you can't go below the minimum threshold. But according to Rava, if you're above the minimum threshold, and you put them into a single kli, that doesn't combine them to make them a single entity where they are inseparable at that point in time. But rather, it maintains the integrity of the minimum of Akhtara. And therefore, if you take off that minimum of Akhtara from that item, and are makrive bachot, you're going to be a chayav. So because there is subsumed in this larger amount, a smaller amount that has relevance or significance, as long as you pull out that amount that is of significance, you're going to be chayav for that hakrava bachutz. But once you go below the minimum threshold, which is 3 log, then there's no longer anything significant about your hakrava bachutz. Therefore, you're going to be patur. So that's what Rava says in an extension or extrapolation from his explanation of the Rabbanan Shita. Vashi Amar, Rashi comes back to defend Abaye's explanation of the Mishnah and the Braita. It says the following. Nisuch me'aktara lo yalfe. Rabbanan, Nisuch, you're not going to learn out from Akhtara to Chelev. There are two different worlds. One's a libation, and one is Akhtara. So just because the din by Akhtara is a kezayit, doesn't mean the din by Nisuch, Ayayin, or Nisuch Hamayim should be a kezayit. Since they are different categories, they're Rabbanan are not going to learn one from the other. Even though they're both done on the Mizbeach HaFitzon, their processing is done in the same area, nevertheless, the Rabbanan are not going to extrapolate from one to the other, because we're dealing with two different engagements with the Mizbeach. One is Akhtara, and one is Nisuch. But, when it comes to Akhtara me Akhtara, Yalfe. On the other hand, when it comes to learning one Akhtara to Ketoret from another Akhtara to Ketoret, they'll learn that, Avagav de Bipnimi Bechutz. Even though you're learning about the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Torah of Yom Kippur, from the Kodesh, from the Torah of the Echal, the daily Ketoret, nevertheless, we're going to let it go through, because then you're speaking about a similar type of presentation before Hashem, or Avodah before Hashem, and that is Haktarat HaKetoret. Whether it's done on the pan in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it's done in Mizbeach HaZahav, it's the same type of Avodah. And so therefore, I'm willing to learn from one to the other, even though they're located in two different areas, and they're processed in two different areas. On the other hand, when I'm dealing with Haktara and Nisuch, even though they're in the same location, I'm not going to extrapolate from one to the other because they're completely different ways to engage with the Mizbeach. One is Haktara and the burning on the pyre, and the other one is Nisuch, is pouring the libation on the Mizbeach. So even though they're in the same location, as actions are too far apart, so that we would not learn one from the other. In that way, Rav Ashi now answers on behalf of Abaye, Rava's challenge to Abaye's explanation, by saying, despite the fact that the Chachamim don't learn Nisuch HaYayin or HaMayim from Akhtarat Chelev, they will learn the Ketoret of Kodesh HaKodeshim Yom Kippur from the daily Ketoret that goes into the Kodesh. And therefore the Braita that tells us that Rabbi Lazar agrees to the position of the Chachamim, that's speaking about the Ketoret HaEchal, the daily Ketoret, and there when that's done by Chutz, you're Chayav, even for a Kezayit work, because there's no Shiur, as Rashi said. On the other hand, our Mishnah that says that they argue is to be about Yom HaKippurim, not about the minimum amount of Yom Kippur, which everybody agrees is Mochuf Nav, rather what's the minimum amount to be Makri Bachutz, to be Chayav. Do you need the full Mochuf Nav, which is the view of Rabbi Lazar, or do you only need a Kezayit worth, which is the view of the Chachamim? And that will depend on whether you learn from the Ketoret of the Echal to the Ketoret of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. But that type of limud is acceptable, that's because that's both a type of avoda or engagement with Hashem that is done in a similar fashion of Akhtarat HaKetoret. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Kufyud Amud Aleph.